The Dow was up today 305 points, closing at 9,625. That's a 3% gain. The NASDAQ also gained 3%. The S&P 500, 4%. Here's a quotation that make folks like me a little worried. Clearly, the sky is falling. The question now is how many people will be left to cover it? That's New York Times media writer David Carr on all the layoffs happening in the media, especially newspapers and magazines. Time Inc., 600 jobs cut just last week. Condé Nast is scaling back Portfolio magazine and Men's Vogue. And today, Rodale, the publisher of Prevention, Men's Health, and Runner's World, says it's cutting 10% of jobs. By the way, many of those positions are right here in New York, the media capital of the world. We'll talk now about the economic anxiety in the media business with blogger Jeff Jarvis. He's also a professor at the CUNY Journalism School and the author of an upcoming work that will appear on printed paper, What Would Google Do?, a book out early next year. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Jeff, I understand you were just in a room full of editors at a conference hosted by CUNY on the future of the media. Oh, do tell. What were they
there
saying?
There is a future.
There is a future.
There absolutely is. That's the problem with David Carr's column. He's brilliant, but he just continues the lamentation and the funeral dirge about it. We already know this. There's no news in the fact that news is shrinking. But there are incredible new opportunities and new ways to create news. I had 10 startups there who saw news in new ways and created new companies around it. And so I do think there are new models. The business is going to inexorably change. There's no reason that the internet should leave news alone. It's changing everything else in society. Mm-hmm. It's going to change news.
So how is the current financial crisis affecting what the internet can do, what bloggers are doing? We know what it's doing to newspapers.
It's accelerating the downfall, yes. But I think there are other new opportunities. I'm a big fan of the Planet Money podcast from NPR that Adam Davidson and company have done. And that's a chance for NPR to create a half-hour-a-day show that couldn't fit on the air. And they're covering a story that's very complex, and they're doing it in a new way of a process. There are really exciting ways. I wouldn't be teaching journalism if I thought I were leading kids to a cliff. instead, I'm leading them, I think, to new opportunities.
While you were at the conference, I understand you led an unusual group exercise based around a hypothetical idea that the city of Philadelphia loses a major newspaper. So tell me what happened next in the exercise and what did everybody learn?
Usually when cutbacks come up, it's about waiting for the axe to fall and then you figure out what to do next. In this case, we said, all right, let's imagine the axe fell completely. How are you going to serve Philadelphia? And I was proud of the editors and publishers in the room and financiers who, rather than trying to figure out how to take a 300-person newsroom and cut, they said, no. What are we likely to make online? $4 million. How much of that are we going to put to content? This much money. How many people can we afford? 35. So then what do those 35 people do? Well, 20 of them are going to create content, and a few of them are going to go out and manage the community. Because I think, very importantly, the way for journalism to expand, not just survive, but expand, is by working collaboratively with the world out there, bloggers and other unwashed folks. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important way to figure out this new model as a network rather than as a product in a company.
Doesn't that, though, take advantage of non-union labor, free labor? What happens to paying these good people, these great unwashed bloggers for their hard work?
They can build their own companies. Debbie Gallant at BaristaNet in New Jersey has built a whole blog covering Montclair and doing a good job of it. She has 10,000 visitors a day, 100 advertisers. I tried to get her to blog on NJ.com when I ran that service, and she said, no, I'm going to build my own thing. And that's where the world is now, is the network of bigger things people can build on their own.
But blogs don't seem to be immune from the financial squeeze. Gawker Media let go of 19 of its 130-odd editorial staff members last month. Is that an isolated case, or are we in... at the tip of a big blog die-off?
That's my friend Nick Denton, I think, being very cagey about business and using an opportunity to trim his business a bit. Nick's very clever. He's admitted for once that he's profitable at Gawker. I think it's only uphill for Gawker.
You've been a proponent of hyper-local journalism for a long time. You just gave an example of it. I've been reading lately that some papers are considering dropping the Associated Press, since so many people get their national news on sites like Google News anyway, and focusing on the local. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think focusing on what you do best and linking to the rest is the essential rule of this new world. And a local paper needs to be local and be better at it than anybody else and get more links to it because it did that uniquely well. It doesn't need to cover the whole world anymore. It's not a one-size-fits-all product. Now, the Associated Press is a valued entity, but the model that it's built under by its newspaper owners is really built for an old world where content had value and the new world links have value. And so if you write a great piece about what's going on in Trenton, you should get links to that rather than have it rewritten by the Associated Press.
Jeff Jarvis is a professor at the CUNY Journalism School. He's also the author of an upcoming work that will appear. It's book form, right?
Yeah, it is.
What would Google do?
I'm a hypocrite.
Right. All this talk about linking and you're publishing a book. And thank you so much for joining us here on WNYC.